don't just exist, live live on AWR SID Media.
28 minutes before one, it's time for us now to go to Pastor Mutse, who's going to be helping us with our question for today. Remember, he comes through every day at Opus 12 to answer our question. Actually, it's not our question. It's a question we're asking on behalf of you, the listener. So you send your questions. A producer compiles those questions, finds the pastor who's going to answer the questions, gives them to me. I ask the questions on your behalf, and I promise I will do my best to have the pastor answer all the various dimensions of the questions. I will not just read the question, but I'll put some meat to it so the pastor can have a fuller opportunity to answer the question, all right? That's what we're doing every day at 30 minutes after 12. It's called Ask a Pastor. So if you have a question, come on, feel free. Send your question and we will do that. We'll ask a pastor for you. Pastor Mutse, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners. Actually, the surname is Mutsiye.
Ah, Mutsiye. I do beg your pardon. Okay, Mutsiye.
No problem.
Senolo. Is that correct?
The name is also actually Tumelo. Senolo is a ministry, so
okay.
I have become the embodiment of the ministry.
I see. Okay. All right. I'll have my producer edit the script so it reflects the details correctly. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today, Mfundisi, is why is there no explicit condemnation of slavery in the Bible? We know that society today has condemned slavery. Quite frankly, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a testament to that. The abolitionist movement in the United Kingdom and the United States have made sure that we abolish slavery. But we still have the scriptures, the Holy Bible, not condemning slavery. Everyone speaks against slavery today, but the Bible does not condemn the Bible. Quite frankly, when you read the Bible, you find God even regulating slavery to the extent that the things that he says to regulate slavery, it's as though God is condoning the atrocious actions that our slave keepers have been committing against people. The issue of keeping human beings as slaves. You even put the idea of slaves in the Ten Commandments in the fourth one about the Sabbath. What is going on? Why is there no explicit condemnation of slavery in the Bible, Pastor?
When we look at the issue of slavery, I think maybe for the benefit of our listeners, we may want to ask ourselves a question as to what does slavery in the biblical context mean? Because when we look into the Bible, as you have said, it's not so much as explicit against or condemning slavery. We realize that there's a concept of slavery within the Hebrew Bible, and there's also a concept of slavery within the Christian Bible, which would be the New Testament. So when we look at a definition of biblical slavery, it is actually a state of being an unpaid servant, whether through forcible subjection or voluntary submission. So I looked at the word slavery from the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, the Old Testament text. It would give us the word eved or abad. When you look at this word, it simply means to serve, and there would be different contexts, obviously, of the service. So when you look at it, you mentioned the issue of God regulating slavery. When I looked at this and I asked myself a question as to why is it that it seems as if there is less volume on this condemnation of slavery. And when I looked at the word, which is a word that means serve or work, I looked at it from the beginning to say, here is Adam, he's given the garden and he's told, work the garden. You come along with it, you see now there are some regulations of slavery, because ultimately God has given humanity the power of choice, and also God being a God of justice, he cannot really subject people to slavery. That is why there would be regulations such as if someone works for you or is your bond servant or your maid servant, after a certain number of years, they need to be set free. If they were enslaved because they owed a debt, they are supposed to actually be working for such a number of years. And after that number of years, they need to be set free. And this is what comforts me about it, particularly from the Old Testament perspective. I'll come to the New. Within the Old Testament perspective, there's always this constant reminder of saying, the one who is a servant and the one that is the master, they all need to be cognitive of the fact that they are accountable to God. And so that's why God would enforce that within the regulations. When you treat your slave, do not treat them harshly, but treat them with care. For an example, if your slave is injured at work, what you need to do is you set them free. He or she loses an eye or a hand, you set them free. On the basis that during their work they got injured.
Let me clarify for this what brand of slavery everyone is objecting to.
Mm-hmm.
This is the brand of slavery that we see God objecting to when his people are expressly put under. In Egypt. In Egypt, they were serving hard labor, mm-hmm, with slave drivers, people who would beat them. God didn't like that. They themselves, the Israelites, were crying because they were beaten up. It was not just a person, mm-hmm, doing a job like Adam did in the garden. No. To do a job, okay, everyone does it. The problem is when you are unable or not willing to do the job, you get beaten up. But doesn't stop that. God seemed to be regulating that. When people beat their slaves, the very same people who were slaves, they themselves are beating slaves. God doesn't say stop beating. He simply says don't kill. How do we know this? Exodus chapter 21 verse 20 and 21. It's a shocker, Mfundis. Verse 20 says, anyone who beats their male or female slave with a rod must be punished if the slave dies as a result. Huh? So you only get it punished if the slave dies, but you can beat the slave as long as the slave doesn't die. Verse 21 says, but they are not to be punished if the slave recovers, mm-hmm, after a day or two, since the slave is their property.
Exactly.
So God is okay with people who are gonna beat other people unconscious for a day or two. God is okay with people beating women with a rod. Verse 20 mentions beating a man or a woman with a rod, Mfundis.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat them up until they are unconscious. They go into a coma for days. As long as they don't die, God is okay with it. No punishment must come to you. And that's the kind of slavery we're asking. Why is God okay with this?
I think maybe if we take it from that context, we look at God would say to Israel, when you treat your slaves, be mindful of the fact that you were also slaves, so you treat them right. You look at the context where you would hit your slave with a rod. The text would then further go on to say, should they die, you are punishable by death, which could be a sense of saying, because you did not treat this slave in remembrance that you were also a slave. And also, if we go back to the issue of Egypt, when we look at the degrees of slavery they went through, they started being beaten up as soon as Moses would then say, God says, let my people go. So there they were beaten, but the actual beating was to give a message to God. But initially, when they began with their slavery, it was not a slavery that deprived them of worship in particular. But as soon as Moses comes along now, and then Pharaoh says, no, they are lazy, so let's deprive them even of the very Sabbath that they keep. Interestingly, I came across a text in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 34:16, where it gives this impression that in actual fact, prophets spoke against slavery. I also looked at it, and you know, different scholars, obviously from different faith communities, have their own opinion. One scholar I came across says, the Old Testament seems to assume that slavery is a part of the human experience. And I looked at it, and I tried to understand what he means as the human experience. And when I got to the New Testament now, when we look at the concept of doulos, we get to realize that many a times the New Testament gives slavery as a metaphor within the context of redemption. That's where we would see the Apostle Paul using terms such as apolutrosis, that would say salvation is within a slave market. You were once a slave to sin, but now you need to be redeemed to be a slave to the kingdom. So it's just unfortunate that perhaps the degrees of slavery would differ from a Hebraic point of view, from the Greco-Roman world, and also within the contemporary context. There would be also other texts that would say those that actually sold people into slavery, they were condemned. Texts such as Exodus 21:16, texts such as 1 Timothy chapter 1, where we see that those that would actually kidnap people in order to sell them into slavery, they were condemned. But there were also other instances where you would find that people sold themselves into slavery. Others would give themselves into slavery because of poverty, and others would get into slavery because there is a debt that they need to pay. And once that debt is paid up, then they would be set free.
I understand, Mfundisi, and I really have no objection to that explanation. Even today, we have people who are slaves in one way, shape, or form. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the question for today that we're trying to exhaust is God's explicit forbidding of the evil in slavery. While there can be good in slavery, there is much evil. Why is God not forbidding the evil? Or are we saying Exodus chapter 21, verse 20 and 21 are not evil? It's okay. Violence against men and women using a rod till that they are unconscious for days in a coma, that's okay. Are we saying that's okay? Is God saying it's okay to be violent such that you beat a person so brutally they fall into a coma for days, Mfundisi? That's the kind of slavery that this person is trying to establish. Why is God not forbidding that? Why is God not explicitly condemning that?
Yeah, it's very difficult to actually answer explicitly myself for God. There are certain things that God would do that would not make sense. After all, he would say, "My ways and your ways are not the same." I think we need to look at it perhaps from this perspective of saying, why did he allow? What is the lesson in that evil? It is very difficult when we see all of these things that God seems to be tolerating, especially within the Old Testament. And this gives a problem to theologians, because when you look into the Old Testament, it seems as if the God of the Old Testament is very cruel. And you come to the New Testament, it seems as if the God of the New Testament is merciful, but yet in Malachi he says, I'm God, I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's quite, perhaps the answer to this may lie in the socio-historical context as to what happened before. Why would such be allowed? Why would people be subjected to be beaten? Are they being beaten because they are doing wrong in the sense of master-servant relationship? Because at the end of the day, if we look at it from that perspective of master-servant relationship, if, let me make, maybe make this contemporary example, I know it will not hit home as it should. You look at a slave who is a contractual slave. You need to work these many hours. If you are absent at work for these many hours or days, you will get a disciplinary hearing. You might be even lose your job. When we look at it from that perspective, you would find that as a slave of a master, I need to know, this is what is expected of me. And if I don't come to the play, then there is punishment. And I would like to believe that though others would beat their slaves, even to a point of death, as we have rightly highlighted, they were punished. I want to believe that because God says both the slave and the slave master are accountable to God, they will account. So perhaps just like the atrocities that are happening today, God may not act now, but because they are happening, it suggests that he has allowed, because he has power to stop. But because it did not stop, in his omniscience, at that day that he has set aside, then all of these will be brought to account. I think that's what I could say in relation to whether God does not condemn or God is silent about the issue of slavery and the brutality thereof.
Should the church condemn what God has not condemned? Since God has not condemned slavery, should the church not follow God's lead and not condemn slavery as well?
Hey, it is very difficult. Why I say this, it is because there are certain things that the church has done which become the dogma of the church, things that may not necessarily be a cutting, thus saith the Lord, but the church felt that, no, we need to put these measurements into place. So it would be difficult, but I would like to believe that as those that believe in God, and God being a God of justice, a God of mercy, and he would say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It is imperative that the community that believes in God should advocate for people not being slaves in the harshest sense as we are discussing. So the church does have that responsibility to play, but also the church needs to be careful, because that's how heresies came about, whereby the church feels that, no, we'll speak for God because God is silent.
Yeah. So in the final analysis, Mfundisi, are you saying we are therefore unable to speak for God? And because God has not spoken against slavery, we too should not speak against it?
I think I would say, when as an individual, I understand who God is and what God stands for, and understanding this from a pre-fall, post-fall perspective, I would know that the type of God that I have a revelation of affects the relations I have with fellow men. So I would not be in a position where I would want to enslave God's people. Yet I say God is a God of liberty, God is a God of justice and mercy. Those attributes need to also be seen. They need to be visible in the church. So as far as putting it in ink, it would be tricky. But at the end of the day, we are ambassadors of God.
Yeah.
And it is important for us as ambassadors. You cannot be an ambassador of an institution you do not know. First know the institution, what the institution stands for. Then you will be able to then say, as those that believe in this institution, this is wrong. Scripture might not be explicit because perhaps during the times of Scripture, the challenges were not the same as the contemporary challenges. But now in the contemporary, here is a principle that we need to treat one another with respect. We need to treat one another with love. And the love that we say we have for God must reflect in us. The attributes of God must also reflect in us, because most of these are shared attributes of God.
Okay. So if we know that this God of the Bible, both in the New and the Old Testament, has always been permissive. I nearly said pro, but that would be another conversation. Let's say he was permissive of slavery to the extent that Paul himself, an apostle of Christ, sent a slave back to its slave master. He didn't say to the slave master, free this man. No, he said, take him back and treat him like a brother. It doesn't say stop treating him like a slave, but he says treat this slave like a brother.
Like a brother.
So there is no condemnation of slavery there. However, there seems to be a toning down of relations between slaves and slave masters. And then I ask, if Paul perhaps may be an example of how the post first covenant relationship of master and slave should be, perhaps that too is another example of how we should be coining our views. I've read this, the position of the Seventh-day Adventist Church about slavery. It totally, totally condemns it. And yet we don't really have examples of condemnation in Scripture. So shouldn't we perhaps, at the very least, if we're going to tone it down, if we're going to try and be close to the world of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the United Nations and its own resolutions, perhaps we could come closer to Paul saying, no, slavery is not wrong. Let's just treat our slave brothers as brothers. Shouldn't we perhaps do that? Because the downright condemnation of slavery would be downright unbiblical, wouldn't it, Mpunis?
I like how you have put it, and this is what I like or have observed within the case we have mentioned of Paul. During the Greco-Roman world, a slave would have a mark, and the mark would be visible,
right?
Whether on the forehead or what. So, this was the law. If a slave that has a mark is not with the master, that slave must be killed. So within that context, Paul then is trying to protect and preserve the life of the slave itself, to say, look, go back to your master, I will write a letter to say, receive him, because he knows very well that this guy, should he be seen, he's going to be killed because he's a runaway slave. So I liked how he tried to mitigate the issue of toning it down, to saying, look, yes, it's still a slave, but don't make a slave feel like a slave. Treat a slave as a brother. I think if we take it from that perspective, it is very important to be able to say, though I may have a slave in 2024, but my slave does not fear me. I can sit down, we eat the same food with my slave, we drink the same drink. We are within the same space. That is reflecting respect, love, and most importantly, it shows that the slave master understand that they themselves are a slave to God, and God does not treat them as a slave, but God treats them as a child.
Hey, Funis, the very idea of slaves in the year 2024. Hey, you would be cancelled and you'd be tried at The Hague. They would send you to the International Criminal Court. But now we have a Bible that seems to be guiding us away from what the world is agreeing. And for purposes of interest in Fundis, it seems as though the world has the higher moral ground on slavery. Is the world wrong to condemn slavery? Is the church wrong for condoning slavery in the Bible? Or at least the Bible, not the church. The church is very confused. Let's put the church aside. Is the world wrong for condemning slavery? Is the Bible right for condoning it?
I do not think that the world is wrong. But yet again, if we may also analyze the stand of the world, it is we may find some gray areas. I mean, you would find that some countries will be dealt harshly because of slavery, but some, because of a different type of slavery, are not treated harshly. But the thing is, the world is not wrong in condemning slavery. As a believer in God as well, I cannot condone the issue of slavery. So I think the contemporary challenge is that we look at what the world is doing. There are some certain issues where the world is championing, where the church is silent, and the church is supposed to be vocal, but the church is not vocal. We can also look in within some certain issues that have been happening in the country. Let's look at the issue when brethren were given petrol to drink, they were done this and this in the space of religion.
Mm.
Churches were very silent about it. But it is the government that said, no, this is wrong. We are bringing about regulations. Right. We want to even regulate churches. And it's only now that churches say, no, but government, you can't regulate us. Give us time to put our house in order.
Right.
So it is very important that as ambassadors of God, there are issues that we dare not allow the world to lead. It is us who are supposed to lead. So perhaps this is a wake-up call to the church, the body, to say, guys, we need to be vocal on issues that we need to be vocal on. We should not be led by the world that is not aligning itself necessarily with the word of God.
Okay. All right. Mbonis, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much. A tough conversation to have, even for apologists, I tell you, to have this conversation is a trying time. Thank you very much for taking up the challenge. I appreciate it. Let's talk tomorrow with yet another conversation just like this. Until then, have a wonderful day, Mfundis.
Thank you so much, and God bless you together with your listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfundis.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.